Well, grab your Bibles and wave them at me in there. That's awesome. I'd love to see the Word. I used to sit there and say, smack the person beside you, and well, that was fun, but it sometimes gets a little different in there. But I want you to open your Bibles with me and just hold it there onto Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to do a little walking in the Word today, and I really believe that this is an appointed moment right now, that this is a sermon with its purpose, and its divine purpose is to set us free. And so there is something within the DNA sometimes when, and this is the thing that we have to sort of grasp and walk into, when someone is preaching, it is not that they're just sitting there flapping their lips and take my word for it, I can do it, okay? I can talk with the best of them in any time in there. But it's something that we believe that when the word comes forward, that when it's preached and when it's in that form, that there's a DNA that is available to us. There's something that is available to us to begin to transform us. Because if it doesn't, then why are we doing this? Right? That this is the expectation today. And so I really believe that that I want you to hear me. We're going to walk through. I'm going to try my best to stay here. You see, some of you are already laughing already, okay, because you know me well in that way. But what I want to do is I want to give you some lessons from the life of Joseph for not quitting. I believe that right now one of the things that is very hard for me is I'll say it this way, and I'm trying to be careful with some of my words in this, but I've had some friends quit. And you might, you know, this word could specifically go in many, so many different areas, but specifically some of them, and my heart just breaks for them because they have been through the war. They have been through what we would call bring through the ringer, okay, in there. Been so difficult for them, and they have quit in this. And you say, well, and what's amazing is, and when I say this, some of them have just quit on caring. Some of them have just quit on expectation. Some of them have quit on God and have walked away. And in that moment, in those things that we would all sit there and look, and it kind of reminds me of the stories of Peter and different ones that it's like, well, that won't be me, right? That won't be me. I never would have dreamed that it would have been that person 5 years ago. And walking through this journey. And I know that, see, the reason why I'm saying what I'm saying this morning is I believe that in the Spirit, and sometimes when we are going through a rough season or when there's a difficult time, sometimes even the prophetic word or a word from the Lord that we hear in this format that I'm about to give you and that I'm walking through, sometimes we can go, that's good for you, Pastor Rob, but you don't know my situation. Yeah, you don't know what's going on. You don't know. Listen, I believe that there is a divine shift that has been happening for the last month, okay, in there. I believe this divine shift has a very specific purpose. And do you think that the enemy wants it to happen? No. So for me personally, there's been a lot of things that have been happening. There's been a lot, and I'm not going to go into too much detail of it, but know this and understand this, that when I say, you'll see what we're going to go through and we're going to walk through and I'll explain, and you see me just reining myself in right now because I believe that I have a word in here. So if you grab your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 37, and we're just going to read first the first verse, because before we look at Joseph, I want to look at his father. And I want to look at his father Jacob in this. And when we see here, then verse 37 says, "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan." That particular verse has so much depth within it. But if we look at Jacob, Jacob is not someone specifically. I love the Bible. We talked about it this morning in our class. How much I love where the word of God is not shy just to be able to put whatever happened in there. You know, for me, if I'm writing this story, I might be like, I joked about this morning that, you know, David is a man after God's heart. I might have been like, do we have to put the Bathsheba part in? Can we just, you know, can we just put it over here? Really? And we're just going to lay it all out there and for everybody to see all that's going on. See, that's the way God deals with these things. And you'll see that even for Jacob does some crazy things. I mean, I don't want to call them what sometimes is even in there, but I mean, Jacob does some strange, crazy things. And for Jacob, but Jacob, watch, I want you to see that Jacob begins this journey towards something that his son is going to fulfill and his son is going to walk into. But Jacob, and I don't have time here this morning to get into all the, it's funny, this word, I'm going to say the word, okay, I know I'm too old to use the word, but that Jacob does some sketchy things, okay? It's one of the words that I hear all the time, and maybe it's now a done word and it's a finished word and it's not there anymore. I can never keep up to what all the new words are, but he's done some sketchy things, some things that we would not necessarily want our own be in our own lives or to be in the lives of our family in there. But I would say it to you this way, that I see God active and moving in his life. I see God even acting and moving in our lives for really, when you were to really take a hard look at our lives, isn't there some sketchy things still sometimes in our own lives? Come on now, in the midst of all of those things. But I still expect God to begin to move. And this is what I want you to get from Jacob. It said there that Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger. So Jacob begins this process. A stranger, that particular word means sojourner or temporary resident. We've been talking a lot about kingdom, right? And kingdom dynamics, and begin to see the kingdom come. This is kingdom dynamics. From moving in a place or in a land, moving from simply being a temporary resident or a sojourner in there, or even we would say a stranger in the land, to becoming to dwell in this land. And it's something where we see that, for example, I would put it this way to you, that Jacob, a man whose character did not deserve promotion, yet his covenant brought unmerited favor. This guy is unbelievable, the favor that we begin to see in his life. Jacob moved, though, from a stranger in the land, which was his father's, even in this position in there, and he began to move into one who dwells in the land. Here's what I'm expecting to dwell in the next little while. I'm expecting to move from a temporary resident in the belief that healing can happen now into the land that expects that healing can happen right now. I have seen miracles. Do you know that I have seen cataracts fall off in my hands? Miracles. The fact of praying for someone. I've seen it overseas, and some of you know my stories in these things. I am, though, not wanting to tell stories of the past. I want to tell stories of yesterday in this. And so that is even in a sense what we're talking about, moving from this land. And you know what? Everybody starts out as a sojourner. You start on this journey. You're like, well, I'm not sure that, I mean, I don't really know. And I want to believe for this, but it's the sense of moving in it. And whether or not it is, for example, for me right now, I am pressing in to believe for healing. Are you with me? I am pressing into the fact that I believe that what God says, and here's the deal with, we talked about even this morning, when you see Peter begin to walk on the water in there, he walks towards Jesus. He does not begin to sink until he takes his eyes off of Jesus. The winds and the waves begin to happen. I'm telling you, is there a lot of winds and waves around you right now? Come on, they're everywhere we look, every situation. And when you, it's happened with me right now, the more it happened, I started to do this maybe back, maybe 2 months ago in there. I've really began to go, Lord, I need to change. I need to have an absolute, I believe in healing. I have all the scriptures. I know where it is. I know it's here. I know it's even moving me away from the fact that it might happen to a theological belief in this, but I need to move into a faith that not about the fact that it could happen if God chooses to do it, but that I'm going to step in and believe for it happen because it's part of the atonement, that it's part of what he did because of the cross. And that's what I'm talking about in this, of moving into this level. But it's not something that a lot of times that we get to become a resident. In other words, we begin to have that solid belief until we begin to venture into that area. So here's my challenge for you. I believe that God is saying to us, come on, venture into that area with us. Every single one of us, not just going, so you know what, even in areas where we would say, well, that healing, you know, that's kind of the healing team's area. That's the thing. No. Every single one of us. Now, I want you to look beside at someone right now and say, that's you. That's you. There is an expectancy in me to begin to move. And that might then be this. It might be the fact that some of us have to move from being a sojourner in the idea of sonship. Anybody study and understand sonship? You're reading books on sonship. You've gone through these things. It is such an amazing concept to move into sonship with God. But here's the deal. Going from book learning into the activation to see it happening, to live in that place. Whether it, for example, it might be a poverty mindset. Pastor Pastor Jay has been teaching amazing on the fact of moving out of this poverty mindset and moving into a mindset that expects prosperity and begins to expect that God is going to begin to do things in our lives so that we will have enough that we need and more besides so that we can see the kingdom begin to change. Are you with me? See, that's what I'm talking about. But if you're like me, sometimes those winds and the waves and all these things come up and it begins to knock me back a little bit of going, you know what? Well, that's just, yes, I understand, but anybody got any of those? Yes, I understand, but you don't understand what this is going on and you don't understand, but this and but that. It's just a whole lot of big buts that need to get out of the way. They just need to move. Because I want to be a resident of the healing virtue of God. I want to expect these things, but it's not in the sense that when we think about it like, well, you know what, if I only had enough faith. No, come on, can we not move beyond that? Can we not move beyond that? In the fact of the expectation that God is with us. Go like this, put your hand here. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal and Savior and Lord, do you know this is where the Holy Spirit lives? Seriously. In there. If I was teaching the kids right now, I'd be like, God's in there. See, we forget about this. So we are walking, talking temples of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit just like to get out every once in a while, sometimes I think, to do something. And it's something where all of us, now listen, fear holds us. Fear wants to bind us. Fear wants to hold us down. But you know what even does more? Sometimes our disappointments and our experiences. Those situations that come up and creep up and try to grab you by the neck. Maybe none of you know them. Maybe, and I hope you don't ever experience them. But I've had enough in my life that have made me go through a journey of deciding that I will not quit. I will not quit. And whether or not it's I will not quit, for some of us in that situation, it could even be that I will not quit on God. I will not quit for some of us. I will not quit expecting healing to begin to break out here in a massive forms in our lives, in our workplaces. I will not quit. I will not stop. And you know what? Here's the thing. What happens in the midst of when you begin to have a viewpoint like that, what happens is that then the winds and the waves get bigger. And the thing is that I want to be in, Pastor Jay, you kind of took a little bit of my thunder here this morning, which was really good in there, because Jason's running back around on the line. He is completely oblivious to you guys. That's the way I want to be to the winds and the waves. I want someone to be able to walk up to you and go, didn't you see that big wave that just about took you out? Sorry, missed that. Focused on my Jesus. That doesn't mean I'm sitting there because I've gone through seasons in my life where, see, I have to be able to explain all the circumstances. I have to be able to explain why this happened. I've got to be able to explain this and explain that and explain that, because I am a little analytical at times where I want to break it down and I need it to explain, and then you realize there is no explanation. And I have to begin to do what we're going to see Joseph begin to do. There is a key to remembering this, and that is this, that as you jump out in faith, you want to write something down, as you jump out in faith and move into this new land, rely upon the grace of God to move you from a temporary belief to an indwelling faith that is rooted and grounded. I know that was a lot. Let me read it again in here. Here's the key. As you jump out in faith, oh, really? Okay, let's just do this. Everybody stand up. You're going to be my Sunday school class just for a second right now, okay? So, here's what I want you to do. Now, those of you that can do this, if you can't do this, don't worry about it. We'll just do it by faith, okay, in there. But here's what I want you to do. I want to see who can jump the highest. Okay, so some of you are like, really, Pastor Rod? Okay, now if this is highest, okay, then that's the way it is, okay, in there. But I want you just simply to show me right now what I'm going to count, 1, 2, 3. And we're all going to jump on 3, not on 2.5, not on 3 and then jump. I'll say 3 and we're all going to jump. Ready? Okay, front row, turn around and look at everybody else. Okay, ready? So, 1, 2, 3. Okay, very good. Sit down. Let me show you. So here's what's going to happen. Whenever you're going, oh, I'm not sure if this is belief, I pray in the name of Jesus that this thought would come into your mind. Remember when we jumped in church? Remember when we jumped in church? Do you remember when we turned around and all of a sudden Pastor Jay was like way up there? He was just jumping right on up there. Okay, in there. Okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to jump. I'm going to put away, not let my fears control me. I'm not going to let the past experiences control me. And I am going to jump out and see my God do a miracle. You see, Jacob is the poster child for covenant grace. He is, before even we have the cross, he is a poster child in this because his behavior and even the things that, not like God is endorsing his behavior, but because of his covenant relationship with God, blessings begin to come. Unbelievable blessings begin to come. But really my time, I want to just jump past him right now and talk about his son. So if we look at this, I see the life of Joseph. I see Joseph, this dreamer. This incredible dreamer. But I see Jacob. The reason I was talking about Jacob is this, is because Jacob did an unwise thing. And Jacob gave his son this coat of many colors. Now, I understand the representation of it. I understand what it means. I understand the symbolism of it. But in that situation, remember I told you that Jacob did some things that are a little sketchy, okay? Jacob is actually, when he's doing this, see, these are, some commentaries would say that these are actually royal robes. It's not necessarily even the possibility that they had many colors like we say, but it was something along the line that these were royal robes. This was something that was not average. It was not normal. It was something that was beautiful, but it was something that set him apart. But when he was doing this, he was setting him, in a sense, up, I believe, up for all kinds of trouble with his brothers, okay, in there. And in these situations, when they begin to happen, I know the concept. I get the fact that favor on your life can bring jealousy from around you. But as parents, we do need to be wise in those things that we do. And I think that in this situation, I just need to show you the setup that is there. So first of all, we see that even Jacob, without maybe not meaning to, but it's such a setup because he is elevated above all his brothers. And then you see that his brothers are like, really? Really? And you see the fact of what they could do to him. Do you think that happens just because of a coat? No, there is no way that everything that they did to them, that they did to him, is because of one coat. That would have been continual of there to see this. Yes, we believe for favor, but favoritism is something that's different. Favoritism is done by manipulation. Okay, in this, and this is even, you see, what is Jacob known for in these things, right? We're known in that sense if we see him. I don't like calling him, I don't like branding people in that way, but we see there's a lot of deception along the way in the midst of this, and trying to sit there and elevate because he had a favorite then even with his wife, okay, in there with Rachel in this. And we see that these things begin to happen. Parents, please recognize, even myself, I sit there and I say constantly when my kids were younger, Lord, help me not to have favorites. You know, help me not to play favorites in the midst of this. Now, it's funny how your kids all think that the other one's the favorite. Okay, it's like, you favored that one, you favored this one. We always used to joke about my little baby brother, Jason, who's now no longer a little baby brother, okay, in that way. But we'd be like, Jason, oh boy, he got away with everything. I'm the oldest, okay, in there. I was the guinea pig. They get to try everything on me. Paul was like, you know, you ain't doing it to me anyways. And then Jason was just like, oh, it's Jason. Come here. You know, in there. And that's just kind of the way it works in there, in your family. But I see that there must have been a lot of that kind of stuff going on there. But in the middle of it, can I say it this way to you? That his brothers should have been more in tune with what was going on. And even in this situation, we see that, what does Joseph, do you know how old he is when he gets the dream? Boy, there's some dreams that I've gotten. I wish I was 35 and 40 when I got them. Be a lot more mature to be able to handle them. He's 17 years old when he gets this dream. How many of you were really, really mature at 17? Yeah, all the 17-year-olds put their hands up right now, right in there, right? Yes. See, in those days, in those situations, you don't always make the right decisions. And even for Joseph, and I'm just trying to set you up into the circumstances of the situation here, that Joseph, out of his zeal, begins to share a dream. Can I encourage us sometimes when we get a dream that to be like Mary? That the right moment, that God will give us the right moment to declare that dream. But maybe in the beginning stages, it's time to be like Mary and hide it in our hearts. To have God to begin to work it through with us and work it out in us and mature it in us in there. And we see that I look at the way, but he's just an enthusiastic young 17-year-old. Give the guy a break. I mean, seriously, in this, you think of how young he is in this, and he's just excited in the midst of it. I don't think he's like, look out, here I come, okay, in there. I think he is the fact of, look at what God said, and is so excited in the middle of it. But then you know what begins to happen. And his life, you begin to see all these different experiences. But what I want to do right now, I want to give you five keys for not quitting from the life of Joseph. The first one is this. He didn't believe that his present circumstances was the final word. I'm going to write that down. He did not believe that his present circumstances was the final word. Grab that. Your present circumstances are not the final word of the situation in your life. That my God is able to change the situation. Come on now, that's a word for someone in here right now. That situation, you know, even for Joseph, to me, he knew that he didn't acquire his father's favor. He didn't do anything to do that. He knew that he didn't acquire, even later on, we'll find favor from Potiphar. He didn't do anything necessarily to acquire that. That came, and then we see other things begin to happen from it. But he knew that he didn't acquire the favor, even in the jailer. But all of this he knew was from God. Therefore, when Pharaoh asked him to interpret the dream, I love this. So you know the story. I'm trying to skip ahead a little bit in there. But you know the story, the baker and the butler. Okay, it sounds like it should be a movie. Okay, and wouldn't it be cool to have a movie? Somebody make a movie in this. But the baker and the butler, to make a long story short, they are basically thrown into this jail. And Joseph is there at the time. And Joseph is then put in charge of them. And we're going to see some things that happen within that in a minute too. But I notice here it says that at the end of it, so we're going to flip back and forth in the story. So he comes out of the jail, Joseph does, and he stands before Pharaoh. And the butler has said to Pharaoh, hey, you know what? I know a guy, okay, in there. You know, he's in jail right now. He can interpret dreams, okay, in there. I know it. He's just awesome. And he didn't really say, I kind of forgot about him, you know, in there. But the whole point is this, is that if you come here, if you bring him in here, he can interpret your dreams. Look at what he says. Go here now with me to Genesis 41, verse 16. You got to turn it. Turn it in your Bibles and see it for your own self. This is the first phrase out of Joseph's mouth after I, and this is the NIV, if anybody has the NIV. It's Genesis 41, 16. It says, I cannot do it. He gives him the whole dream, and then Joseph says, I cannot do it. Can you imagine being the butler? What do you mean you cannot do it? You serious in this? But then here, notice the situation. He says, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. See, to me, he has this idea and this understanding that we're not stopping here. He didn't believe that his present circumstances was was the final word. He believed that God would come through. To me, when you look at Genesis 39 and 3, it also says, when his master saw the Lord, that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. The first key to not quitting from Joseph's life is to recognize God's favor and blessing, to give him the glory and the honor that it's worth. So here's what I want to do right now. I want you to turn to somebody, and I want you to share with them a blessing that God has done for you within the last week. Here's the qualification. Within the last week, turn to someone beside you, and I want you to share with them a blessing that God has done in your life within the last week. And some of us will sit there and we'll have to just think for a little bit here and now. Turn around to somebody, find somebody, and I want you to share with them specifically something God has done for you in the last week. So one of the keys to not quitting is to keep a record, not of wrongs, but to keep a record of the things that God is doing. And to expect that today he is going to give you a new testimony. Would you do that with me? Would you expect that tomorrow you're going to get a new testimony? And the day after that, he's going to give you another testimony? And the day after that, he's going to give you another testimony? That God is going to begin to do these things in this way. That is, to me, one of the ways that I see of not quitting. The second thing is this. He had an ability to not take the pain from the past disappointment or disaster into his next God opportunity. Even in this, Joseph gives glory to God in the names of his sons that we'll show you later on. But it's a matter of the head, the ability to not take the pain from the past disappointment or disaster into his next opportunity. Genesis 41:14, it says this, Pharaoh sent for Joseph, calls for him, and this is what it says. He was quickly brought them out of the dungeon. And when he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. I think that for me, when I think of this story with Joseph, is I see that he was prepared and he expected things to change. I think in those moments, he expected things to change. Genesis 41:14, it tells us in there that he shaved, changed his clothes before he came. Now we know the practical part of that is that would have been expected. He had to do that to get to the king. We understand that to the Pharaoh. We understand that part in this. But I believe here is what this we have to learn. I don't believe that his soul was in prison. I believe only his body was in prison. I believe that his expectation was still free, because we don't find in this story, you realize that what he has been given, he's been given the responsibility of the butler and the baker. And he says, even in this word, in his word, when he talks about this, he was given the responsibility not to lord over them, but to serve them. And we find this over and over again in his story, that for a way for him to move beyond disappointment, come on, it is not fun to be in a jail. I mean, look what he says, even for example, in Genesis 40:14, he says, remember me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. Okay. He doesn't want to be in this jail and in this situation, but he is not curled up in a corner somewhere going, oh, woe is me. Now, you may be offended with me in this statement in here, because I know that we all go through very, very difficult things. And I have been one who has walked through much depression that comes on you like a blanket. So I understand it. I know what that means. But here's the thing. If I go pout in the corner, I'm going to miss the next opportunity. If I sit there and stay, if Joseph is in that going, you got to be kidding me. First, my brothers throw me into a pit. Then they sell me into slavery. Then I'm bought and I go into the house of Pharaoh. Then God starts doing all these amazing things. I am sitting there. There's no one greater in the house as far as responsibility than him. He is living what God declared over him to be a blessed man in the midst of bondage. And then because he does the right thing, boom, he's thrown into prison. In those situations, we have got to be able to go, to not sit. Now hear me, all these fingers are pointing back here, okay? To sit in the corner and pout when something, and listen to me, that was disastrous. Because the question is what is that going to do? Seriously, what is that going to do? Have you ever been there so that your mouth is running off faster than your brain can even think? Seriously. Something happens, and before you know it, I'm not as bad as I used to be in this. Thank you, Lord. But if all of a sudden I'm driving down the road in my car, and my car would go, I'd have it already in the wrecker within seconds going, what was that? And my imagination would begin to run on, and I'd be sitting there wondering. I'd barely get it home of going, and all it was a $10 part. See, in that moment, it's a matter of moving beyond the situation and believing that God is about to break through. I believe that he was ready when he was called upon. See, the thing is, too, is not only was he then prepared, he was active. He was active in what he was doing. When you're going through difficult times, if you're going through depression, if you're going through, like, even for me, that sense of wondering, you know when depression is coming on you, because here's one of the things you'll say, what's the point? That's one of the keys to recognize that depression is either around you, on you, whatever you want to do. You just want to get it away from you, right? In that way, is that what's the point? Someone gives you a great, fantastic idea that they're so excited about. Your reaction is, so what's the point? Because in the middle of it, you've lost that expectation because of the situation. And for me, I see him. He's active. He's working. He's producing. If you want to write something down, he's producing in the middle of bondage. He is not allowing the bondage of the terrible situation to overrule him, but he is actually seeing opportunity come because he's listening, because he's active in that moment. We see Genesis 40 and 4 tells us, talks about him being observant, about hearing and saying to them, what's going on? Why is your faces look so sad? What is happening? And he recognizes the need upon somebody. And in that, Joseph recognizing the need for the baker and the butler, he basically moves then into the next season of his life. I think for Joseph, the third thing is this. Joseph didn't allow devastating actions of others that cost him dearly. Think about Potiphar's wife in this situation. Cost him dearly to be an indication that God was not with him. I'll say it to you again. Joseph did not allow the devastating actions of others that cost him dearly to be an indication that God was not with him. Do you know what he could have said in that moment when this happens? You got to be kidding me, God. Really? That doesn't happen over in the next house over there. Come on now. You're all looking at me like, either you're looking at me like I'm not preaching well, or you're looking, okay, don't talk about that anymore, okay, in there. Seriously, in that situation, I look at it and I see his reaction. He does not allow these devastating actions to be indications for him that God's not there. He has this belief system in him that God is going to show up. You just watch. And after giving the glory to God, he hears the dream and he jumps right in the middle of the interpretation. I think this is number four is this. He wasn't about to let a massive setback be his lens of whether God was with him. See, we all have these lenses. Have you ever had something really difficult happen to you? Like something really, really, really hard, really difficult. And then that becomes a lens that you see through. And you even hear it in your voice. You hear it going, yeah, but. Someone will say something, yeah, but, and you find that that is continually happening in there. That is what I'm talking about in this. But he had this, for him, there was just this God-given ability to not let these massive setbacks be a lens for whether or not God was with him. He chose confidence. Now listen to me. Confidence and humility can go side by side. It is not true that you either have to have one or the other. That confidence is not arrogance. Confidence is knowing that God is about to, the song today, what an amazing song. I'm looking forward to just continually singing that song, but that sense, that expectation that God is about to do something in the midst of this. He kept in humility, but he had confidence that when it was time, listen to me here in this, that when it was time, when Pharaoh said to him, so basically, what does this dream mean? He gave him glory, and then he jumped in, began to interpret the dream. Can you imagine, now just follow with me for a second here, can you imagine if when he was in jail, that if he would have gotten over and sat in the corner and spent the whole time saying, woe is me, he'd have missed the opportunity to serve in the midst of that jail. He'd miss the opportunity to see God do. Come on, this is miraculous. You don't go get shoved into jail and then you become now, you're the one that basically is helping the jailer. You're like his right-hand man in the midst of this. You don't then begin to then walk from there. And who, you don't find in history anywhere else with this kind of comeback where Joseph, someone who was not an Egyptian, gets to be now second only to Pharaoh because of the situation. But think about it. If he sits in the corner, he doesn't hear their conversation, and he doesn't interpret their dream. Can I encourage you with this? That for me, a way in which for me, I think it's so beautiful that the names of Joseph's sons are to me what Joseph believed got him through and got him from not quitting. And listen to their names. Manasseh is one, and Ephraim is another. So here's what Manasseh means. For God has made me forget all my toils and all my family's house. One commentator though says it this way, to forget all the unkindness of my father's house. It is clear, he's not talking about specifically them, but I believe with truly to begin to move into our next, So here's what I want you to do. only if you want to. Please, only if you want to. Just you and the Lord right now. And just say to him, Lord, I am willing to walk with you into new freedom. To walk away from these old things and these old hurts and these old pains and these old wounds and walk into the next. And begin to see your glory and your honor. You do amazing things. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here's what I'm going to read something to you. I have a conclusion. I rarely do this. Okay, in there, but I have a conclusion. I wish that I wish I had a costume. Okay, right now. Okay, in there. It's that good. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, in there. But let me just read this conclusion to you. It may take me a little bit, a few minutes. I will not let rejection derail me. Come on now, you got to declare yes and amen with me if you're in these situations. I will not let rejection derail me. I will not let offense fence me out of relationships or box me in. I will not attach my relationship with God with what he does for me. For when I feel like he didn't do something for me that I wanted, but my reason for being in relationship with him is because he exists and he is my Father. I will not allow disappointment to be the rudder of my life's ship, for it will steer me, disappointment will steer me into the wreckage with intent to crash me completely. I will not connect to my circumstances as signs that my Heavenly Father's love and his approval is missing from my life. For then when the circumstances are for me, hear me now, when the circumstances are for me, I will not live my life on circumstances. I will live my life on what the Word of God says. I will not elevate my feelings beyond the powerful indicators that they are. They will not sit in the seat of decision. I will not elevate them, nor will I also banish my feelings as frivolous and unimportant. I will not react in fear. Amen? I will not react in fear to the things I don't understand. I will not give fear the first response. Spirit of God has the first response in my life. Amen? Now listen to this. So if I will not give fear the first say, then what will I do? I will not give fear faith's first say. I will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, renew my mind so that faith is my first responder and fear is only a passing thought. I will not elevate my feelings to the seat of decision, but I will use them as tools that God intended, and I will not villainize them, but I will use them for these things: to root out the enemy's lies, to know grief and loss for the purpose of moving forward, not stalling and binding the pursuit of life and life more abundantly. It says, I wrote here then, is I will not allow disappointment to be the rudder, as we said, of my life's ship, for it will steer me into the wreckage and into intent to crash me completely. But I will not go down. I will use disappointment as the launching pad for God's next. I will set my hope as a violent, solid steel shield that cannot warp, cannot be penetrated, and cannot be turned. I will trust hope's shield directly in the face of my greatest disappointment and watch the God of my hope turn disappointment into divine destiny. Amen. Amen. Now listen to this. I will not allow rejection to derail me. I will remember in the face of rejection whose I am. I am a child of God. Say it with me. I am a child of God. I will not retain the blame and shame that rejection leaves in its wake, but I will relentlessly fix my eyes on the one who chooses me, knowing my past, knowing my present, and also knowing my future. The one who has a plan for me has not graded my success, but by his success. The last one here is, I will not allow offense to fence me out of relationships and box me into isolationist mentality for fear of being hurt. I will be so full of the refreshing, overwhelming, satisfying, undeserved love of God that offense will find it practically impossible to stick to me. And if it manages to creep through the dripping, oozing love of the Father that covers me, it will not find me an easy target. Say it with me. It will not find me an easy target. It will not find me a weak, insecure, fear-ravaged victim. It will find the love of God that terrorizes every evil intent and destroys every form of darkness that dares to attack a child of the God Most High.
I will not allow the cares of this world to smother my fire. I was so excited, Pastor Jay's words this morning, so much about the fire expectation. I will not equate the failures of my circumstances with the God that I know who loves me and gave his life for me. The God who gave his life for me. This is the life I want to live. This is where we need to be. And not just as a, those are declarations that I've made in my life and in these things, but to see them. Remember, to go from being a visitor in the land to dwelling in these places forever and ever. Amen. Stand with me this morning. So, Father, I thank you now for your peace. And Lord, if any of us here today that this has resonated with them, I pray that as they go home and they say, Lord, here we go, going on a new journey of freedom. As you walk with us, wow, what we are going to see. And we are going to share this health everywhere we go in your name. Amen. 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 Be blessed. Have an awesome day.